Okay, well, let's turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go into chapter 2 of this book. Certainly more could be said about the last 6 or 7 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, but I save that for a future occasion, something else I'm working on. So we're going to go right into chapter 2. So 2 Peter chapter 2, and when you find your place, let's stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. I'll read if you follow along. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who, privily, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we think about this matter of false prophets, false teachers. Lord, help us to be discerning as far as what a person is teaching, whether it is the truth or whether it looks like the truth. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So he goes from chapter 1, speaking about the last two verses, that knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So you see, as we go from 2 Peter chapter 1, 21 into 2 Peter 2, 1, we see that there's the but that is directly connected to chapter 1. And so he's speaking about how that, you know, we don't follow cunningly devised fables. Instead, we have the more sure word of prophecy that did not come by the will of man. Then he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. He says, but there have been people that have been false prophets over the centuries, over the time frame of Israel being a nation. And then he goes on to say, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now those are the ones that do indeed follow cunningly devised fables. False prophets. Isn't it interesting how he says false prophets at the beginning, and then he says false teachers? The next, speaking about the Old Testament era, he's talking about false prophets, and then for the New Testament era, he's talking about false teachers. And I double-checked just to make sure, and it definitely is a different Greek word. I'll read you something from a Way of Life Encyclopedia from Brother Cloud about false prophets. A person who claims to speak messages from God, but who teaches false doctrine. Now, just to backtrack for a second here, that word false prophet is one word in the Greek, and it means pseudo-prophets. Pseudo-prophets. And pseudo is an adjective. It means pretended, false, spurious, almost approaching to or trying to be. So false prophets is a pseudo prophet. It's someone that's pretending to be, trying to be, but is not actually a true prophet. So as Brother Cloud said, a person who claims to speak messages from God, but who teaches false doctrine. Let's take a look at some verses. Deuteronomy chapter 13, please. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Verses And the passage goes from verses 1 through 11, but we'll just kind of talk through some of the first few verses in this passage. So Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commandeth thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So he's saying, if you have someone that says, let's go follow another god, and with gods that you have not known, it's not me, it's definitely somebody else, he's saying to them, then don't follow that person. And furthermore, you need to put that person, that false prophet, to death. I think we're going to be coming back to this passage, or at least referencing it a little bit later. Let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. That passage in Deuteronomy 13 has some of the rationale why God would let false prophets exist. Because we might just say, well, why wouldn't just God just smote them now? Why would he allow them to continue? So in Deuteronomy chapter 23, we'll read a few verses and then we'll jump ahead further into the chapter. Starting at verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flocks from other countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again into the folds, to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increased. And we jump ahead in the passage to verse 13. And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and of the inhabitants thereof unto Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So, there's a lot in this passage about prophets. And later in the passage, around 33, it talks about the burden and those that claim to have the burden of the Lord. And when he says, no, it's actually their burden, verse 36. For every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God and of the Lord of hosts, our God. You know, we think about prophets. Earlier we read in Deuteronomy 13, and we also, of course, know from Deuteronomy 18 the test of a prophet, you know, the prophecy coming true. And as I was reading this, I was reminded of Joseph. I've over and over and over, the prophecies that he was given came true. And I'm thinking particularly of the prophecies that his brethren would bow down to him. I mean, they all came true. But you see over and over and over his brethren bowing themselves down to him. And, you know, we we finished the book of Genesis as a family recently, and every time we came across one of those places about Joseph, we're like, okay, look at this, look at this. And the children started noticing themselves as we were going through it, seeing his brothers, even at the very end, you know, after Jacob dies, and they bow down to him, and they're like, our father said before he died, that you need to forgive us. And he says, you don't understand, you are forgiven. But his prophecies came true. They didn't fail. They didn't fall. Okay. The Bible gives several tests to determine, again, it's going back to Way of Life Encyclopedia, gives several tests to determine if a prophet is of God. His predictions must come to pass. And so we go to that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I was listening to a person witnessing to some JWs. It's a YouTube thing, and they were talking about some of the failed prophecies of the Watchtower Society, and they now distance themselves. Oh, those were rumors. No, they weren't. They were false prophecies. They were not rumors. People just getting excited with the times. No, they were false prophecies, and of course there's been false prophets with JWs, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, with some new evangelical groups that are so very focused on prophecy that they, for instance, in the matter of when Jesus is going to return. Just to pause there for a second, when it is in reference to when Jesus is going to return, I think you and I, as we get older, it's our natural desire to see him come back soon, isn't it? As we see the wickedness in this world, as we see the direction this world is going in, we look forward to that day when we're going to see him and the fight is over. And, you know, the risk to ourselves and our families is over. And so sometimes people get caught in trying to gameplay when Jesus is going to come back. And they get caught into, sometimes it's maybe based on numbers, you know, doing this number backwards and this number upside down, and oh hey, we arrive at 2019, you know. Or sometimes it goes down to some of these people that they believe they had a vision and they're given something. But we know that no man knoweth the time when Christ is going to return, and so we don't get caught up in that kind of prophecy. So the prophecy must come to pass. So Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22. 20 through 22. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. You know, we need to have a fear of God, that we are very careful in what we say and how we represent God. You know, that we have to be careful that we don't put words in his mouth. If the word of God is clear on something, and if we can stand on the authority of God's word, then yes, we can say, thus saith the Lord. But somewhat of a gray zone in it, we have to be very careful about saying something that, with definity, and putting words in God's mouth. So, as he says here, the prophet in verse 20, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now that does seem kind of obvious, doesn't it? But at the same time, we do, as humans, tend to offer forgiveness to people, and in cases where and let things slide in cases where we shouldn't let things slide. I should rephrase that. As far as forgiveness, what I'm getting at there is, I mean, we are to forgive people, but sometimes we go, oh, okay, well, you made that prediction wrong. Okay, so it's not 1964. Oh, you said 1998? Okay, so it's, you know, we tend to give allowance for it, where God gives no allowance. So his prediction must come to pass. Any failure of a prophecy to come to pass would designate a false prophet. And that goes in part or in whole. You know, if Joseph was right about the butler, but was wrong about the baker, you know, that would be a false prophet. He was right about both. Bible prophets never failed in their predictions. Number two, he must not lead people to false gods. We already read from Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3, that the false prophet, that would lead them to other gods. And there are false prophets even in quote-unquote Christian circles that attempt to lead people to a false Jesus, to a Jesus who does not exist in the Bible. They make a creation of them, of their own self. And you might say, well, but they're talking about Jesus. Oh, maybe so. But maybe they say he's just a prophet. Is that the same Jesus we serve? No, it's not. That's another God. That's another person. Our Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. So that's why we do not take it at face value when somebody says that they believe in Jesus, or, you know, it all depends on, is it the Jesus of the Bible? So, number two, he must not lead people to false gods. So even if a prophet's predictions are accurate, if he preaches a god other than the very Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture, he is false. Number three, his message must line up with the Bible. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah 8, 20. Back up to verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So, number three, his message must line up with the Bible. So this is the standard. I've mentioned before how when I was taking chemistry, how we, I believe it was organic chemistry, how we were given some substances. And we had to identify them. We had to go through several different tests to identify those mysterious substances. You might have had an idea based on the odor, but that you couldn't just turn it in and say, yeah, it's vinegar. It smells like vinegar. You had to be able to show what you did, what steps, what tests you took. You had to be able to cross-reference with charts, you know, things like boiling points, melting points, and solubility and that type of thing. Well, this is our measuring tool, the Word of God. We balance everything off of here. We check everything. The checks and balances are here. So if someone's message does not line up the Bible, it is false. And that person is a false prophet. Also, the false prophet must not seek to turn people to sin. So the true prophet, on the other hand, seeks to turn people away from sin. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 23. And in our own text in 2 Peter, it speaks of the false prophets that are driving people away towards the lusts of the flesh. So Jeremiah 23. verse 22. Backing up to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and I caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. See, the true prophet is trying to, and of course in our day and age, the true prophet, a person who prophesies, is not foretelling. They're forthtelling. They're speaking what is in the Word of God. They're delivering it. They're not just going, oh, I've had a vision, this is going to happen to you tomorrow. But they're forthtelling the Word of God. So that the prophet then and the teachers and preachers now need to turn people from their evil ways, or at least attempt to. I mean, Noah was a prophet. He unfortunately was not successful in, and it wasn't him, it was the hearts of the people. But he was not successful in turning the hearts of the people of his time to the Lord. And they continued in their sin, and of course we know the story. We know the account, what happened. They were destroyed. Number 5, he must bring forth good fruits in line with the Bible. Good fruits. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now in our text, it talks about the false teachers who would come in privily. So it's very similar. Coming in sheep's clothing. They are posing to be someone they're not. I was just listening to an audiobook, and there was, it's around the time of the removal of the British Expeditionary Force from Europe, the Dunkirk evacuation, and it was a lot of mixed match where there's sometimes the Germans and the British ended up side by side, and they started talking to each other and realized, ah, we're not on the same team. And then there were times when they just kind of went, but then there were times where some of them were actually, there were some Germans that were pretending to be British and yelling out they needed some help trying their best British accent, and they were found out to be imposters. Well, there are false teachers that are imposters. They pretend to be something they are not, and they are trying to draw people away. So, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew ye. You, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ooh, just can't imagine being in that group. I mean, you got so many that are religious. Can you imagine them there at the judgment day? I don't know if they're going to have clothes or what, but can you imagine there in their pretentious clothes and little dog collars and whatever else they've got going on, and they're like, yes, Lord, we've come for an entrance into heaven. And then the Lord tells them, I never knew you. Depart from me. So by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, over the years, I've seen false doctrine try to come into churches many times. And something I've noticed about false teachers is they are very, usually they're very strong personalities, very dynamic personalities, and quite often they try to effect change very quickly. They come in and try to effect change before you can know them, before you can examine their fruits. And sometimes they can do great damage. And I know my dad has also seen that, and some of you probably have over the years as well. Great damage. So look at their fruits. What kind of fruit are they bearing? And, you know, the scripture talks about not being hasty to ordain a man, not be hasty to put our stamp of approval on a person, to stand behind them. Examine their fruits. See what kind of fruit they have. Number six, he must not teach heresy. Well, our text has that verse. Let's go back to our text. Heresy. What does that mean? I mean, we all kind of have an idea in our mind that heresy is bad, that it's false doctrine. But then, like, you know, it's kind of there's different definitions of what heresy is. So let's take a look here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So the word heresy, I'm just going to get you the definition here. The word heresy, the Greek word is ha heresis. So it's pretty close to the English word there. And it means a choice. A choice. Abstractly, it means disunion. And it comes from the Greek, another Greek word, G138, which Greek word is to take for oneself, to prefer, to choose. And that definition kind of seems a little strange, doesn't it? I mean, you say to yourself, well, choice. Isn't choice good? And we recognize that God has made us free will agents. He's put a choice before us. From the very beginning, when he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden and said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of it. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to give you a choice. He said, don't eat of it. But he knew that they would have to choose between obeying him and disobeying him. And that God has given the free choice to each one of us to choose him for salvation or not to choose him. To choose to obey him as a Christian if we've already trusted him, or not to obey him. Along with disobedience, of course, comes chastisement. To give you a larger definition from the Vines Expository Dictionary, the definition here, a choosing, choice, that which is chosen, and hence an opinion, especially a self-willed opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of truth and leads to division and the formation of sects. Such erroneous opinions are frequently the outcome of personal preference or the prospect of advantage. And it also, the author here believes that there's some connection with a destructive choice. Now, in our text, there is some commentary there as well about what heresy is. So notice there, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Denying the Lord that brought them, bought them. In areas related to Christ, who he is, his deity, and that's where one of the definitions we see in a cult is the person of Jesus. Where they go wrong is they ascribe to him characteristics that are not true. They'll say that he is not God, that he is just a man, or just, you know, he's an archangel, or he's a prophet, perfect man, but not God. And then secondly, the way of salvation. You think of Galatians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Galatians about, you know, an angel that comes and preaches a different gospel. And then he says, it preaches another gospel, which is not a gospel, he says, because it is not actually good news. Their gospel is false, and it will not lead a person to heaven. In fact, it will damn them to hell. So when we look at what is the definition of heresy, we particularly look at two things: who Jesus is and the way of salvation. Those are the two greatest forms of heresy. You know, you look at things like works-based salvations. You think of what the different steps and sacraments that the Catholic Church says you must do in order to get to heaven. That's heresy. You know, doing the sacraments and all those various steps that they say you have to do. That's not true. That is not the way of salvation. And so those are two greatest areas of what heresies are. And you notice that he says they're damnable. And because if you believe in those heresies, truly believe in them, then you are damned to hell. And it those are people that have not trusted Christ as their Savior. Going back here to, just give me one second here. Okay, so that was what some of the things that David Cloud said in his encyclopedia. I looked up some verses, some references on some false prophets that we see in Scripture. Take a look in 1 Kings chapter 22, please. 1 Kings chapter 22. This is one of those, you're familiar with this passage. You'll see it when you get there. That's somewhat humorous. When King Ahab wants to go to battle, and he wants Jeroboam to join him, and he says, I'm going to take back some of my land. He says, you going to come with me? And Jehoshaphat says, in verse 5, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? He knew who he was dealing with. He knew these were prophets of Baal. And he said, I don't feel good about this. I mean, Jehoshaphat shouldn't have been there at all. He should not have been in a league with that wicked man in the first place. He shouldn't have put himself in that situation. And it bore fruit, negative fruit, down the road, intermarrying of the two lines. But, you know, he should have been there in the first place. But still, he has the good sense to say, well, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we can ask? I just need one. I don't need the 450 prophets of Baal. Or the 400, I should say. And the king of Israel sent Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Our text in 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about those that heap to themselves false teachers. In other places in Scripture, we read about those that... it's not that passage. Our text talks about false teachers. In 2 Timothy 4:1-4, we won't go there right now, and go there later. It talks about those that heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Ahab had itching ears. He only wanted to hear one thing. He didn't truly want to hear what God had to say. He wanted to have these prophets tell him just exactly what he wanted to hear. And that's where we've got to be so careful, that we do not tailor what we want to hear, that we do not go to specific people. Ahab didn't go to Micaiah because he didn't want to hear his message, because he knew what he would say would not please him. Verse 9, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance. So a kind of a little side place by the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Boy, that would have been nauseating for a true believer, wouldn't it? And Zedekiah, the son of Chinana, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that were gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. He didn't commit himself at all. Well, he did. He committed himself to speak the word of the Lord. Notice there the peer pressure. You know, false prophets, false teachers will often peer pressure you and I to say and believe and do things that are not true. And here this messenger is saying, look, there's 400 prophets. They've already said good things to King Ahab. He's in a good mood. He's getting ready to go to battle. Just toe the company line. Just go along with it. Verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And they answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Again, this is such a humorous passage, because the king obviously knows that he's being facetious. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. The obvious implication is, their king is dead. King Ahab is dead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven, standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall upon Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on this matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. So and then we know the rest of the story. He's told to put him back into prison, Micaiah, back in prison, and we know that Ahab gets slain in that battle. We'll come back, not tonight, but Lord willing, next Wednesday night, to think about the concept of why was it that God put it into their mouth to lie. Okay, well, we'll end with those thoughts, and we'll pick this up again, Lord willing, next week. And we're going to look at a few more examples of specific false prophets. And then we'll look at the matter of false teachers and why people look for false teachers, characteristics of false teachers, how a church is supposed to deal with false teachers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, you're so clear in your word. Thus saith the Lord. And Lord, where your word is so clear, we pray that we would be clear and confident in that we would preach your word. We would preach it with conviction. Lord, we pray that we would not deviate from the path, that we would not make false doctrines that are based on verses taken out of context, that we would not wrest the scriptures as your word says. Lord, and help us to be perceptive and discerning. Help us not to have itching ears, heaping up teachers unto ourselves, but Lord, that we would test everything by the word of God, that we would have a discerning spirit that is like the Bereans who we've named this church after. Lord, that we would truly be Bereans and that we would examine everything by the light of your word. Help us not to feel too intimidated by your word. Help us not to be cowed into believing a false teacher because they're eloquent and they have verses that they quote. Lord, help us to examine it in the light of your word. We ask now that you be with us. We go to prayer. Help us to have effectual, fervent prayer and that we would avail much tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.